You're listening to the Hove Vineyard podcast. To find out more about the Hove Vineyard Church, go to hovevineyard.co.uk.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jen, if you don't know me. Today's Bible reading is in Mark chapter 16, verse 1 to 8. When Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they went on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Do not be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. It is so wonderful to be with you. We are in a sermon series called Sunday is Coming, but I'm excited to announce that Sunday is here. That was awesome, wasn't it? Amen. It's incredible. My wife and daughter Ivy and myself were away last week. We missed you guys. We've been on the Isle of Man visiting Hannah's family for a week. We had an incredible time. The only downside to being over there and on holiday at this time was, I told you a couple of weeks ago, I broke my hand. You may have seen this. So now it's been 3 weeks and 2 days since I've washed this hand, and it's starting to have an impact on my marriage. Hannah won't come near me. Every time I put my arm around her, she says, "Get the claw away from me." And so, we've had a great holiday. I'm excited and privileged to be here this morning sharing on Easter Sunday, because today we mark and celebrate the most significant day in human history, Resurrection Sunday. It's not a fairy tale. It's not too good to be true. The tomb really is empty. It's game-changing. It's life-altering. It's death-defeating, sin-forgiving, curse-reversing, grave-emptying, and eternity-inviting. Are you excited? Yes. Easter is the greatest news in history. It's the greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. And the best part of it is that it is completely true. So today I want to just share a bit about this story. And I'm sharing it in a long line of story sharers. For two millennia, this story has echoed throughout the world in every country, every creed, every civilization has heard the news that Jesus is alive. And it began, as we read today, with a couple of grieving women at a tomb of their Lord, which turned out to be an empty grave. And since then, it's been house church leaders in the early church, cathedral priests throughout history, underground church leaders, parents simply inviting their children to meet and encounter this risen Christ. And we're here today preaching the cross and the resurrection. What a privilege. We've been trying to teach Ivy, our two-year-old, about the resurrection. And we've been trying to do repetition. And we say, "Ivy, Jesus is alive." And we go, "Jesus is a..." And she's been answering it in different ways. And yesterday, I said, "Jesus is a..." And she said, mermaid. And I thought, do you know, I thought she was saved until that moment. But you shall know them by their fruit. So three things which Easter is about, I'm going to unpack today. A hope, a hero, and a home. You with me? A word on hope. 2 weeks ago, I shared a message here and I said that one of the biggest crises we're experiencing in our world today is a crisis of hopelessness. We're in a world in desperate need of hope. Everywhere we look, there is brokenness and pain and trauma and anger and vitriol and anxiety. We live in a world of hopelessness. People are experiencing financial turmoil, political division, racial conflict, relational dysfunction, global wars, mental health issues, anxiety and fear are governing people's lives. People are searching for hope. People are searching for something to build their lives on. People are searching for something that they can trust. People are searching for something that won't let them down. Let me ask you, where's the hope? You turn on the news, you get on social media, where's the hope? There's a book called Hope in the Age of Anxiety, written by two psychologists called Anthony Scioli and Henry Biller. And they sought to understand how it's possible for us to have hope in a world of hopelessness. And they identified in this book 9 different types of hopelessness that are experienced by people in the world. 9. And they boiled those 9, they distilled those 9 down to 3 key experiences of hopelessness which mark humanity. The 3 key experiences of hopelessness. The first one is this alienation. Alienation, a key experience of hopelessness. Alienation is the feeling people have, that people in our world are feeling alone at a soul deep level, feeling lost, feeling forsaken, feeling unloved and unlovable, feeling unknown and unseen, feeling disconnected. Vast swathes of our world today and our nation are experiencing the hopelessness that comes from alienation. Theresa May famously established a loneliness minister because she saw the effects that loneliness had on people. People are dying for lack of connection. Why? Because we were born for a relationship with God. The second experience of hopelessness they describe is powerlessness. Powerlessness. This is a life enslaved, a life in chains, a life without freedom, without any hope that things can get better. This is a life lived under the tyranny of systematic oppression or racial injustice or poverty or abuse or debt or addiction, living with the feeling that there is no way out. And thousands of people that we work with, that we interact with, that we support in our city experience this form of hopelessness, powerlessness, enslavement. Trapped in generational cycles of addiction or debt or anger or toxic relationships, they feel they have no power to escape. Is there any hope for people like that? And the third experience of hopelessness that was identified was doom. Now, this is a life lived in fear, without meaning or purpose, faced with the belief that this life is all there is and death is coming for some sooner than others. And when people are faced with that and they don't believe that there's anything beyond it, there's no hope, they get gripped with a profound hopelessness. Is this it? Is this life all there is? Is this all that I'm living for? Now, I want to say today, guys, you need to know that if you are feeling hopeless, there's good news for you. At Easter, the death and the resurrection of Jesus offers us a true and living and real hope. A friend I've got to know over the last few months who comes to stay and play recently had been diagnosed terminal cancer. Given 10 years to live max without a miracle, it's heartbreaking. She has young children and a husband. Now, when she got this diagnosis, she wasn't a Christian. And the pain and the hopelessness of it caused her to ask questions. She started visiting a church. She started seeking. And through that, she encounters the risen Christ. Do you know what she said to me a few weeks ago? She said this, quote, end quote, "The diagnosis was the best thing that's ever happened to me." How is that possible? She said, "It's because I met Jesus and he saved me." And she said, "I'm praying for a miracle, but I know he's got me." If you want a picture of the hope that Easter brings, it is that. It is resurrection hope. And if you're feeling hopeless here this morning, you need to know this. Jesus died and is alive today. And he's calling you home. Maybe you're feeling hopeless. Maybe you're feeling alone. Maybe you're disconnected from God and disconnected from people. Maybe you're feeling powerless, suffering under the weight of sin and injustice, or experiencing doom, just the fear, trapped by, gripped by the fear of what's to come. Well, let me tell you about Jesus, because he is the hope of the world. And Jesus is our hero. You see, the good news is not self-help. The good news of the gospel is not five ways to make you feel better. It's not 10 top tips for shifting your perspective. The good news is found in a person, a hero, Jesus. And in the cross and the resurrection, this hero offers every single one of us a hope to solve every ache of hopelessness we could ever feel. Let me tell you about Jesus. Now, I'm not sure we fully grasp the gravity of that moment 2,000 years ago when a traveling rabbi born into obscurity to a teenage mother suffered a criminal's death, nailed to the cross between two thieves. On a hill far away, a lamb turned lion descended into death through the porthole of Golgotha. In excruciating agony, publicly humiliated, tortured, mocked, betrayed, denied, falsely accused. Yet he said, "Father, forgive them." And he gave up his life willingly, his final words declaring, "It is finished." In that moment on the cross, wearing three spikes and a thorny crown, Jesus Christ, who was prophetically called captain of the host, fought a cosmic battle against the forces of evil, and he won. 3 days later, he rose victorious, eternally disarming sin, death, hell, and the grave, for sin couldn't tempt him. Death couldn't defeat him. Hell couldn't touch him, and the grave couldn't hold him. This is Jesus. The earth quaked and the heavens thundered as that God-man Jesus went to the cross. And on the cross, he took on himself the sins of the world. He just destroyed the works of the enemy and won for humanity eternity. That is good news. And in the story of Easter, Jesus provides an eternal hope. He experienced alienation. He said on the cross, "Remember, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" He experienced the disconnection in that moment between God and us that we deserved. He took it on himself. He took on alienation so we could experience reconciliation. The curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. That symbolized the division between God and people, and it is no longer there. We're invited now into family. We're invited into a home. He experienced powerlessness on the cross. He humbled himself. He submitted himself to the consequences of our sin. He embraced weakness for us so that we could become strong. One of the soldiers shouted, saying, "Jesus, if you are who you claim to be, come down. If you are the Son of God, come off the cross. Save yourself." And yet Jesus submitted himself to that death so that we could experience freedom. We're no longer powerless. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're heirs to the throne. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the church to empower us to live a life of love and hope and freedom. We're no longer bound by chains of guilt because we're free and forgiven. We're no longer bound by chains of shame because you're called sons and daughters. Forgiveness is final. God doesn't keep score. It really is finished. And in the cross and the resurrection, Jesus experienced the hopelessness of doom. He experienced death so that we might taste life. And because Jesus rose again, we can know for sure that there is a life beyond this one. There is no need to fear death. There is no need to fear what's to come because Jesus gives us hope. So Easter is about a hope, a hero, and finally, a home. Because of the resurrection, Jesus is alive today. And he's here in this room. He's here in, I'm excited about it. He's here in this room. And here is what you need to know. Maybe you're here thinking, well, okay, I hear all that. I want to know more. I want to know how I can experience this. Here is what you need to know. Firstly, you are loved. You are loved passionately, indiscriminately, furiously, relentlessly. You are loved by the God that made you. He created you. He's crazy about you, and he wants to know you. He wants you to know how much he loves you. Now, the God that made you is the source of life, light, and love, and he created you. You were born to share in God's life, light, and love. You weren't born to experience anxiety. You weren't born to experience fear. You weren't born to know loneliness and depression. You were made by God, for God, to know God and to receive his love as a child of God. Now put your hands up if you've ever read or heard of the book, The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. Anyone heard of that? In this book, Gary Chapman unpacks how we are at a soul level, hardwired to give and receive love as humans. And he identifies five ways that as humans we give and receive love. These are, let me read them out to you, gifts, giving and receiving of gifts, physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, and quality time. Now in this book, Gary Chapman unpacks the fact that we all have different love languages. We all have, maybe this is news to you, if you're married, you need to help. You need some help. But we all have different love languages, different ways of giving and receiving love. Now, does anyone know what their love languages are, if you're here in the room? Anyone know? Some gift people. I'll tell you what mine are. Now, Gary also says that we have like a primary and a secondary love language. So you have maybe one that's like number one and one that's number two. Now, I'll tell you what mine are. My number one is touch, and my number two is touch me again. Now, my wife, Hannah's, she's incredibly different. Her primary one, I would say, is quality time, and her secondary is acts of service. Acts of service. Sorry. I'm jealous for you fellas that have a wife who likes gifts. You just go away with the lads and send in the packages and everything's fine. The point of this is we were hardwired for love. We were built to love, to receive love from God and to give love to God and to one another. The most important and vital place we can be is in a relationship with God. Tyler Statton puts it like this. He said, the good news is that you are loved. Loved right now without qualification or restriction. Loved unconditionally for who you are. Loved in a way you can't lose. The bad news is that you will find it very hard to believe it and even harder to experience it. Your instinct is and will forever be to try and drum up your own lovableness, to become lovable in some way you can define and control, to try to become in your own eyes what you already are in God's. The good news is called grace. The bad news is called sin. The reality is, guys, we have all sinned. We have all messed up. We have all missed the mark. We have all chosen to go our own way. We have all walked away from God. We've all rejected God. Now, if God is the source of life, light, and love, what happens when we walk away from that? What's the natural consequence of that? Well, what's the opposite of life? Death. What's the opposite of light? Darkness. What's the opposite of love? I would say disconnection. When humanity walked away from God, the consequence of that was that the world is now fractured, splintered by death, darkness, and disconnection. Does that make sense to anyone? You just turn on the news today, social media, you can see a world filled with death, darkness, and disconnection. You'll be able to see in your own lives from the day you were born to now the impact and effects of those three things. But the remarkable news about Easter, the good news about Easter is that into this broken world, God doesn't just leave us to it. He enters in. He rolls up his sleeves and he comes to save us. Why? Because we couldn't save ourselves. Why? Because we are the problem. Every other religion in the world tries to teach you what you can do in order to get back to God. Christianity is the only one that says, stop trying. You can never make it. There's no amount of old ladies you can walk across the road in order to get back into God's good books. You can't do it, but you need grace. I remember a story I told a few years back. It was the week before Easter, so it was perfect timing for my Easter Sunday message. And I got a knock at the door, and it was from one of our ladies, didn't speak English. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and she said, your bin is in the grove where we lived, and it's been knocked over, and all your rubbish is everywhere. And I said, no, that's not my bin. And she said, no, it is your bin. It says number one on it, and we lived at number one. I said, I'm pretty sure it's not. She said, no, it is. So I said, okay, let me come and have a look. And I went outside, and sure enough, there was a bin that was knocked over, rubbish everywhere, like bin bags, smelly nappies, cigarettes, you name it, everywhere. And it said number seven on it. And I had a choice in that moment. What do I do? This is the home that I love. This is where I live. This is my community. These are my friends. Do I just leave this bin for someone else? Or do I get involved? And I'm pleased to announce now, I didn't feel good at the time, in my dressing gown, rolled up my sleeves, and I began to get my hands dirty and put all the mess back in the bin. It's a picture of what Jesus did for us. He didn't leave us to it. He entered into the mess of the world. He took the mess upon himself. He cleared it up on the cross. He paid the price for it so you and I could be announced clean and righteous and whole. Now, a lot of people think they can save themselves, but the reality is we are the problem. The problem's not out there. The problem is in here. G.K. Chesterton wrote a book called What is Wrong with the World? And his conclusion is this, I am. J. John puts it like this, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. We need saving. A drowning person doesn't need someone to stand on the sidelines and shout, here are five top tips to learn how to swim. They need a lifeguard to jump in and rescue them. That is Jesus. That is what he did in the cross and the resurrection. He came. He dove into our mess. He lived a perfect life, the life that we should have lived but couldn't, perfectly without sin, completely connected to God, and died on the cross. He took the death. He took the darkness and he took the disconnection that we deserved on himself, and he dealt with them. He became death. He took on the powers of darkness and he experienced disconnection from God so that he could invite us home, so that he could make a way for us to come back to life and light and love. And 3 days later, Jesus rose again. The tomb was empty. Death has been defeated once and for all. Jesus is alive. Amen? And because Jesus is alive, that means he's here. That means we're in the presence today of the risen. It means God is with us. It means the cross really worked, meaning for those found in Christ, your sins have been cast as far away from you as the east is from the west. God chooses to remember them no more. We can receive forgiveness from our past. We can experience a relationship with the risen Jesus, the living God in the present, and we can have a sure and living hope of eternal life in the future. Jesus is our hero. And on Easter Day, we mark that stunning news that he dealt death a final blow. He paid the price for our sin, shame, guilt and mess, and rose again victorious. Death is not the end. Heaven really is real, and Jesus stands here today and invites every single one of us home. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but if you're really honest with yourself, you're living enslaved. You're living feeling hopeless. You're living with a fear of the future. You're living with guilt on your life. Believe this morning is an opportunity to come back to Jesus and receive grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is undeserved blessing. You've done nothing to earn it. You've done nothing to warrant it. It is on a plate. It is a gift. Do you want to unwrap it? And maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're feeling lost. Maybe you're feeling anxious. Maybe you're feeling depleted. Are you drowning? You feel like you're drowning in sin and guilt, pain, things that you've done, things that have been done to you. You need to know that you're loved. And Jesus this morning is holding out his hand saying, come to me, come home. Jesus has done everything. You don't need to do anything. Just need to open it. Just receive it. Just trust in him for salvation. A drowning person is pretty impossible to save if they don't want to be saved. Jesus just says, do you want me? Will you trust him? Will you open up your heart and your hands and let go of control and give your life to Jesus? Will you turn from death, darkness, and disconnection and run towards God? Why don't we pray? And we're going to give a moment right now just for anyone that wants to respond. For anyone that wants to invite Jesus into their life. For anyone that wants to, in the words of Jesus, repent and believe the good news. All that means is just turn 180 degrees. Run from the stuff that's enslaving you and put your trust in Jesus to save you. Maybe you're here and you've been a Christian for a long time, but this is an opportunity to come back. And maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. This is an opportunity to step into Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, receive eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and a fresh start. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.